if you could find brand new worlds right here on Earth, where anything is possible? Same planet, different dimension. I found the gateway.
The Rewatch Podcast presents The Sliders Rewatch, dedicated to the series Sliders on Fox and Sci-Fi Channel. Join us each week as we continue crossing the Einstein-Rosen-Podolsky Bridge and find ourselves in strange new worlds. Email your thoughts on each episode to the Rewatch Podcast at gmail.com. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/rewatchpodcast or on Twitter at rewatchpod. And welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast and our Sliders Rewatch. I'm Corey.
And I'm Tom.
And thank you for joining us here. Today we are discussing two episodes of Sliders. So this week we are discussing Summer of Love and Prince of Wales. So getting into it, Summer of Love, written by Tracy Tormé and directed by Mario Azzopardi. It's originally aired on April 19th, 1995.
Oh, you gotta love it, dude. A chick with a poetic lick.
On Earth Prime, we see Quinn's classmate, Conrad Bennis Jr., being questioned by the FBI about the whereabouts of the four sliders. Upon seeing Quinn's basement, Conrad explains the idea of multiple dimensions and surmises that the four have just done that. Cut to our quartet, dressed as they were at the end of the pilot, sliding into a deserted San Francisco and discovering that the timer is burning out. Very quickly, a PA announcement warns them of a swarm approaching. It's a swarm of spider wasps that are running rampant across the Americas. Once again, the sliders activate the timer to escape, but there is only enough power now for Remy and Wade to slide through before the vortex closes. Quinn tries again to open the vortex, and finally, he and Arturo are able to slide through, accompanied by a few spider wasps. The two land and discover that they are alone, with Wade and Remy nowhere to be seen. As it turns out, Wade and Remy slid into a hippie commune and are assumed to be prophets, based on some song lyrics the group had listened to. Wade and Remy discover that this world is not their world after finding out Oliver North is the president. And upon seeing that Quinn and the professor don't follow through in the vortex, they assume that this world is going to be their new home. It turns out in this world, the U.S. lost an important battle in World War II, which resulted in the Japanese taking over Australia. The Russians eventually liberated North Australia, but remained there, setting up a struggle for power between the North and South, which the U.S. was getting involved in. As Wade and Remy become accustomed to being worshipped, Remy decides to go and look for their missing friends, while Wade introduces astrology to her followers in the commune. Instead, Remy finds himself at his childhood home and eventually at the funeral of this world's Rembrandt Brown. Remy's double, married to our Remy's high school crush, had apparently gone MIA and was being presumed dead. His appearance at the funeral results in celebration. Very quickly, hints are dropped that while this may seem like a great place for Remy to settle down in, the opposite is quite true, as we see that Remy is the most whipped man in the world, as his son says. After the arrival of a telegram that reveals that this world's Remy has been found and is returning home, Remy flees to Mystic Bliss under gunfire. Meanwhile, the professor and Quinn decide they need to do more calculations to get the timer back to working condition and rent a room from a conspiracy-fueled woman who promptly reports the two as subversives. The pair figure out that on each world, there is a best time to activate the vortex, a single opportunity. But it's at that moment that doubles of the FBI agents from Earth Prime break into the room to arrest them. Quinn hears Remy outside in his caddy, and after overpowering the agents, the trio is reunited and head back to Wade. After a conversation about non-involvement with the locals versus sharing their knowledge with new dimensions, the four slide to a new world where they are immediately faced with a huge tidal wave threatening to crash down around them.
Just look at this lot. I hated the 60s when it was the 60s. Tune in, turn on, turn over, and end this babble about free love. Totally irresponsible hogwash. Let's face it, lad. Wade and Rembrandt are probably on an alternate Earth, and they have no idea how much I envy them. Go away!
Okay, so we have a little bit of a trivia for this episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there's sort of deleted scenes, but they're more of just truncated lines, little bits and pieces here and there that they decided just to cut out, probably for timing. Some of the more interesting ones were that from the pilot, when Remy missed singing the anthem, there was going to be a reference by the FBI people to Huey Lewis being called down from the stands at that ball game to sing the anthem, since Rembrandt Brown never showed up. There's some more scenes with Wade talking to the hippies, and they're asking her questions on life after death and the JFK assassination, and Wade puts forth her thoughts on those things as well. And there's a little bit about the radio when Remy is in the Cadillac that says Newt Gingrich is actually the vice president at this stage in this world. Now, those are fine. Those are fun little things. You can look them up on Dimensions of Continuity, but there is one giant deleted scene that I really don't understand why they cut it out. I mean, I get the thinking that Fox, you know, was doing, but it's really important to the story of Sliders. You know, as you go through the series, they start talking about, we've got to activate the vortex, you know, when the timer reaches zero, or else we're stuck here for 29.7 years. And I remember watching it before really studying it, and I was like, 29.7 years. Where'd they get that number from? You know, it's like, what? Wait, I didn't understand. I'm like, okay, all right, I'll go with it. You know, and that just became, you know, what happened in each episode. If we miss this window, then we're stuck here for 29 years. It's like, oh, I never knew where that was coming from. Apparently there was a scene that they were going to do that explained this whole thing. It was, there was a, in the actual episode itself, Arturo says to Quinn, he says, what do you know about Alexander Helix? And they started talking about that. And I looked it up, and what I could find about Alexander Helix was like so far above my understanding. I was like, I have no idea what this is. So once again, Dimensions of Continuity came to the rescue, and they have the scene, that references that. And it's basically, the helix theory is the idea that there is the helix spiral is what they called it. There's a very specific window where they can activate the timer and go from one dimension to the next without burning out the timer like they've been doing so far. And so that's where that came into play. All those equations was trying to figure out how they could fix the timer or reprogram the timer so that they could hit this window right at the right moment and continue sliding from world to world. Otherwise, they run the risk of the timer just being completely inoperable. So they cut that scene out, which was just, I don't know why it's so important.
Yeah, exactly. It is, you know, a real sticking issue about this show in that it was shown out of order, and that the understanding of how the timer works got really muddled up. And now watching it in the order it was intended to be watched, we find that these scenes are all cut out. So later, when they do introduce the countdown on the timer, the 29 years, if they miss the vortex, It doesn't quite make sense, even in order.
Right. Yeah, I was like, when I was thinking about it, like when they slid before, you know, they set a timer for when it would return them back home, and then they activated it early. But during that pilot and the next episode that we did, the Cold War one, they're just sliding pretty much at will. There's no reason for them to have to slide at any time. You know, it's not until this episode that they figure out that the timer is going to continue to burn out unless we, you know, hit this window. You know, like that's when it's at its weakest point between dimensions and we can actually travel without burning this machine up.
Yeah, it makes you wish that it was a bit clearer, even in this episode.
Right, and like Fox said, apparently they thought the audience wouldn't understand that because they said, we're showing the episodes out of order. So they're not going to understand what this whole thing is about the helix spiral. well, you know, you should have shown it in order and it would have made much more sense.
Yeah, exactly. Because they do kind of just go from, oh, do you know who Alexander Helix is?
Mm-hmm.
And Quinn going, oh, yeah, I know where you're going.
Right.
And then it's just them doing some equations right. and then getting shunted off by the FBI.
Exactly, exactly. So it's a really cool scene. So if you check out Dimensions of Continuity under the Lost and Found section, you'll see it there. And like it, they had a couple revisions to the script, and every time they did the script, they had this scene in there. It was inserted in different parts of the script. At one point, it was with Remy in the car. Another time, it was later on with Wade. So they had it in there, but then at one point, you know, right before the final draft, they were told, yeah, get rid of it. We don't want that in there.
If South Australia falls, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to our shores.
Well, we can't have that. Boomerangs and kangaroos everywhere? What a nightmare!
Getting into our main discussion of this episode, the first point I wanted to mention about this episode is going back to Earth Prime and seeing Banish with the FBI. And this is kind of a story thread that they don't follow through on.
Right.
In the series, we don't go back to Earth Prime after this, pretty much.
I like the idea.
And yeah, it is. It's a great idea, but it's just totally dropped. And it's really no point of having it.
Right. I mean, the idea of just, you know, cutting back to what's going on their, quote, home world, Earth Prime, is kind of neat. But in this show, we don't really need, like, a bad guy. We don't need someone to, like, hate, because it's the world themselves the world itself that is the adversary of the Sliders. That's what they're fighting against.
You know, it's great to see Banish. We only got a little bit of him in the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great character. And they play on that. It's almost as if, like, they need to reintroduce the character at the beginning here so they can play the gag later when they see him, like, all properly dressed.
Right, right. The young Republican one. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's like I said, it seems to be an underused story thread.
Mm-hmm.
The next point is that they land on this world where there's these genetically modified spider wasps that have just been sweeping America. At least two or three of them managed to get through the vortex with Quinn and Arturo.
Yep.
And one of them's going to attack Arturo, but they don't manage to kill it or anything. It just sort of flies away.
Right.
And again, another subplot that is just dropped. There's no repercussions of introducing this species into this world.
Right. And now I was thinking about that because these are, like, I'm not like a, let's say, a bug guy. In fact, I hate bugs, you know, because they're...
Yeah, I'm there with you.
You know, it's like they're so small, you know, and like... And when they get that big, when I can actually see their faces like that, I'm like, oh, that's just too freaky. But yeah. when I was thinking about it, these spider wasps, the ones that followed them, I'm imagining that they are not queen wasps, that they are like the drones or whatever. So even though they took them into that world, like, would they have the ability to reproduce if there's only the three of them in there? Like, I know there's like a queen bee and she's like the head of every other bee, but are these, like, do drones have the ability to reproduce? Like, is there a danger now that those wasps are in that world that they could reproduce and there'd be another epidemic of wasps on this world?
Yeah, it's tough to say. It's like you said, not really a bug person. Don't really know much about it.
Right.
But yeah, at the same time, like, they could still go out and kill somebody.
They could. Yeah, they could. They could. I was just thinking maybe it's not as bad as we would think. You know, yeah, they brought this dangerous spider wasp into another dimension, but without maybe a queen there to fertilizing eggs and things like, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV or a podcast, so I have no idea. But I don't know. I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know what? Maybe it's okay. Maybe they just die off because there's not, you know, enough of their, you know, breed in that dimension.
But the fact still remains, it's underdeveloped.
Yep.
It kind of just has no bearing on the main story.
No, not at all. Not at all. And so now in this world, there is another domino theory going on that we had in the pilot episode. It's not quite the same, but in this episode there was someone, I think it was the landlady, who said if South Australia falls, then it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to our shores. So it's kind of referencing the domino theory that if if the Russians took over all of Australia, that then, you know, that would come to our world, to our to the US, and it would take over there as well. So they do reference the domino theory again in this episode that they had in the pilot.
Yeah, and this one's actually an interesting concept, and it's very similar to the pilot part two, mm-hmm. with the Russians controlling America. Here the Russians are controlling North Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And they go through this whole thing about how Japan invaded Australia and it was the Russians that sort of liberated it but then kept control. There is actually a series of books, and the first one was made into a movie. It's called Tomorrow When the War Began.
Hmm.
And it tells the story of Australia being invaded by, I think it was China.
Oh.
And the main purpose for the invasion is because of landmass.
Ah.
And naturally, Australia has like large portions of the continent,
right,
where
right.
we don't actually live. Mm-hmm. There's large desert areas. So that was, it was all about an invasion, a war on Australia. So I can understand where this idea would have come from,
mm-hmm.
that Japan would want to invade Australia because we know that Japan is actually a really densely populated part of the world.
Oh, yeah.
So they might need to invade for whatever reason. So I actually enjoy the idea of this war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's very interesting.
What about the idea of the hippie movement?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this at first, you know, and I was thinking, so the hippies here in 1995 on this, you know, particular dimension, you know, did they just continue from the 60s? But no, because remember, the war was back in World War II is what they referenced, you know, that they lost the war in World War II, or they lost an important battle in World War II. So did the hippie movement start back then in the 40s and just continue all the way up to present day? Because that's a long time. You know, in our world, the 60s, that was the hippie era. And by the time the 70s came around, it had started to die off. You know, it was here and there, but it was pretty much done by that time. But here in this world, for some reason, the hippie movement has continued on. And I was wondering why. I was like, that's interesting that it would last that long. Like, has this Russian occupation of Australia has been going on since the 40s, I guess? You know, and that's a long war.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, I'd say that the hippie movement is actually in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could assume that it is the 90s there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that the 90s is this dimension's hippie movement.
Right.
So it's only been going on for maybe 5 years or so.
Gotcha. So maybe they just, it's a more recent thing, and they said, you know what, it's like someone stood up and said, this isn't right, you know, and thus the hippie movement was born at that time.
Yeah, so the 60s for them was probably more like 30s or 40s. Mm,
okay,
or
yeah,
like
all
that.
Right.
It's just, I think it's just the development of the times.
Right. Okay, yeah, I like that idea. That makes a little more sense than, you know, saying the hippie movement lasted for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, and even Arturo sort of brought up in the pilot about how time will stay concurrent.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't account for how a society develops.
Right.
I guess. And I'm pretty sure as we go forward, we're going to see this slightly.
All right. So then we get to the moral dilemma of interfering with the other dimensions that they come across, the other cultures, and whether or not they should or shouldn't. Wade thinks that they should. And Professor Arturo, of course, says no interference.
Again, like watching it in order, I love that this sort of dilemma is brought up, you know, across the pilot, across this episode, and it bleeds over into the next episode as well. So again, you know, you're kind of seeing that flow of the storyline, watching it in order.
So I really like the idea of, you know, they go to this other dimension and they see something that to them, you know, like that's wrong. That's not the way it should be, you know. So then do you try to impress your values onto this culture that has a whole different take on it? I had a conversation with a friend a while ago, and it was like, morality, is it, you know, universal or is it just relative, you know? And that's kind of what this is. Should they take their values and impress them upon another culture that doesn't have the same background as you?
And especially the idea of like some of the more grandeur things that Wade starts talking about, like astrology.
Mm-hmm.
This world doesn't have any concept of astrology. And can you actually discuss astrology with these people, because for all we know, their star charts and everything like that could be completely different.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, because I know that astrology has a lot to do with constellations and stuff like that. I'm not too into astrology, but is it exactly the same here as it is in our dimension? You know, so you could be really tampering with the natural development,
right,
of a society and a culture. Okay, so we also get into the realm of living a life not lived as well when it comes to Remy, because Remy takes off. He ends up at a house he used to live at and gets involved in his alternate self's life. And he kind of comes to realize that, sure, you can get into a life not lived, but is it going to be exactly what you expect it to be?
And he was very excited when he saw that he was married to, I think her name was Sharon, because that's someone that he had a crush on back in his world, but never did anything about it. And so here we have a world where this Remy is just a little bit more persistent and pursued her for 10 years before she even like gave him the time of day. So yeah, just walking into that guy's life, he's a different person.
Yeah, exactly. And he also encounters his brother, Cesar.
Right on, right on.
Which I think was really funny, actually, because Cesar's got more of like a, almost like a 70s look to
him. Right, he does.
Rather than the 60s.
That is true. Yeah,
it's almost like the black movement or something like
right,
that.
Right,
like the white man copies what the black man does, mm-hmm, or something yeah. like that. So he's like so further ahead of the 60s. Is it in the 70s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's this whole idea that he's got this woman that he had a crush on. He ended up marrying her. He's got a son, Remy Jr.,
mm-hmm,
and he thinks it's a beautiful life, but he finds out that he's just actually totally pussy whipped.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, like that woman, Sharon, from the get go, I don't know, like I had no like feeling that she really really cared about Rembrandt. Just there was like just her expressions and the way she delivered some of the lines to him. I was like, this lady's strange. She's like, she's very weird. It just seemed like she was a very controlling person right from the start. And just the way she was reacting to him and, you know, whispering to him, you know, I know you've been fooling around on me over there. And it's like, whoa, okay. But tonight, you know, I'm going to show you, you know, what it's all about. And it's like, well, if you know he's been fooling around, I don't know. It's just, it's a weird thing. Like she's just, I would not want to be in a relationship with her.
Yeah. And I think it goes to show that you can look back on your life and think, you know, oh, maybe I would have, you know, had such a better life if I'd married Sharon or something right. like that. But it makes him realize that he doesn't become the man he wanted to be.
Right.
Which is the man that he is now. He's a singer. Mm-hmm. You know, he loves to be a singer. But had he pursued Sharon, he would have just become this pussy-whipped guy who
doing the chores,
the music profession.
And, yeah, taking care of the house, doing the shopping, you know. A house husband, basically.
Yeah, so it's, you know, he doesn't get to pursue what he truly loves to do.
Right. Not that there's anything wrong with being a house husband. No letters, please.
Of course not.
No letters. I would love to be a house husband, you know. I don't mind cleaning and cooking and stuff like that, but... Yeah.
It's almost like saying, be happy with who you are.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Don't dwell on the past.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now we have Quinn and Arturo working on the timer. And this, as I watch this episode, like it really, this episode is really a good Remy episode. And, you know, Wade doesn't do a whole lot. And you feel like Quinn and Arturo are doing something, but really, Quinn and Arturo have a lot of little comedic bits in this episode. Like they really have a lot of, you know, a lot of fun, little amusing things with Arturo getting into the psychedelic moo-moo, you know, the clothes that Quinn found for him, you know, with him being knocked out by the rock in the beginning of the episode. There's a lot of comical things. The landlady who was hilarious, you know, which actually the landlady reminded me of my 9th grade English teacher, Miss McAvoy. And oh my God, when I didn't
have been a frightening teacher.
Yeah. I remember that like when I first watched it back in 95 and I forgot all about it until I rewatched it. Now I'm like, oh my God, it's Miss McAvoy. But anyway, They get involved, Quinn and Arturo get involved in all these little comedic bits, which are in the episode. But the one thing that, like I said earlier, that was so important to the story that would have, you know, really pushed the story ahead, they cut that out. So it seems like all the work that they did was really not that big a deal. You know, and that's a problem I had with this particular episode, just because of what they cut out. You know, it seems like all the work they did was for nothing.
Exactly. We go through all these motions of them going through equations, trying to figure things out, you know, working in shifts to get it done.
Right.
And ultimately, it leads to nothing because the FBI shows up. They think that they're preparing some sort of attack.
Right. And the other thing I thought about was like they're working in tandem, you know, taking these shifts. And like at the end, you know, Quinn is like, oh, I solved that. That was easy. What do you mean it was easy? You guys have been working on this back and forth, you know, trying to forego sleep, you know, trying to figure this out. And you're like, ah, it was easy. I'm done. Like, were they trying? I think maybe they were trying to set up the fact that Quinn is just brilliant and Arturo is very smart, but it doesn't come as naturally to him as it does Quinn, maybe.
Yeah. And I think it also sort of shows that Arturo underestimates Quinn
mm-hmm.
and his abilities. He constantly thinks that he can figure this out. Remy really voices the fact that this is Quinn's fault, whereas I think Arturo definitely blames Quinn
mm-hmm.
for attempting to getting them into this mess because he didn't test his theories properly, and therefore thinks that it's almost his obligation to try and save them because he's the teacher and Quinn is the student.
Right. All in all, though, it's a fun episode. There's a lot of humor in there, a lot of stuff to, you know, enjoy and laugh at. It's just, if you were ever wondered why they had that timer, that 29.7 years, this is the episode that could have told you.
And now, another episode of Moments of Truth with Maximilian Arturo.
Pipe bomb? You blistering idiot! A pipe bomb's child's play compared to that!
This has been another episode of Moments of Truth with Maximilian Arturo.
Okay, so moving on to the second episode today, Prince of Wales, written by Lee Goldberg and William Rapkin, and directed by Felix Alcala. My Spanish isn't so good. I'm assuming that's Spanish.
I have no idea. I'll go with that.
And it's originally aired on the 12th of April, 1995.
Wow! Wow! Oh, that felt good. Oh, nothing like a little exercise after a slide to get the blood circulating. Yes!
Alrighty, we start out with our heroes hanging onto the top of a building, trying to escape the rising waters caused by the tidal wave from the previous episode. They decide that on the next world, there shall be no involvement with the locals. They slide into the next world, landing in a fountain. Immediately, people are bowing to the professor. Wade almost gets run over by a car whose impudent driver changes his manner when he sees the professor and offers them the royal suite at his hotel. At the hotel, they learn that the professor of this world is actually the sheriff of San Francisco and acting regent since King Thomas went missing. In this world, America had lost the Revolutionary War and the U.S. is ruled by Britain. Indeed, the world is entirely ruled by a handful of monarchies. The sheriff then appears on TV boasting about a 2% tax decrease for the middle class, bringing their amount of income paid to the government to just 74% instead of 76%. The group decides to get out of the hotel before people realize that Arturo is not the real sheriff. And while trying to hide in the woods, they come across the real sheriff's army men planning to assassinate the prince, trying to make it look like a hunting accident. The Sliders save the prince before promptly being captured by the Oakland Raiders, a resistance group fighting back against the monarchy. Quinn manages to convince the Raiders to not kill the professor and prince by using various rallying cries to get them worked up and focused on trying to help the poor. All of this manages to anger the sheriff, who then declares martial law. Eventually, the prince, who has since become enamored with Wade, is able to escape from the raiders and sees America for what it really is. It is not the most profitable colony as the sheriff had put out there, but a land of very poor people trying to scrape by. Quinn is captured while trying to find the prince. Combined with the Slider's arguments that the sheriff was lying to him and wanted him dead so he could take over the country, the prince returns and decides to help the raiders. Their plan is to take over the studio that the sheriff does his TV show in and introduce democracy to the people of the United States. The plan goes off without a hitch, and the sheriff is revealed as a traitor to the country, and the Bill of Rights, modified, is introduced to this dimension. The Sliders have just enough time to slide out, with Wade bidding a fond farewell to her would-be boyfriend, the Prince.
I can't believe this Prince Harold guy. What an idiot. He only likes women under 20 or over 60. And look at this. He's quoted as saying that poor people have chosen to be poor because otherwise they'd be rich.
Okay, so how about a little bit of trivia on this episode?
All right, so in this episode, there weren't a great amount of deleted scenes. Nothing that was like a game changer. Just a little bit more of the sheriff's TV show that reveals it to be more of a late night talk show type show. Like David Letterman, he had some lines about thanking his guests on the show. Paul and Linda McCartney were two of the guests, and there was some more scenes with normal people coming on the show, showing support for the sheriff and his policies and criticizing the prince. And of course, the sheriff coming to the prince's defense, trying to say, oh no, he's doing a fine job and I will take care of this. Don't worry. We'll find a way to take care of this other problem you brought up. So basically just more of trying to build the sheriff up, you know, trying to push his agenda, basically, where a lot of those deleted scenes were. There were some other premises that were slightly changed with Sliders were camping out near their car instead of being caught by the Oakland Raiders so soon. They actually stayed overnight at a campsite before being captured. There's a little bit more alternate history with Shakespeare being hanged for treason because his stories were inciting revolutionary and paranoiac thoughts. And there was one scene that showed the prince when he had escaped from the Oakland Raiders and he was wandering around the streets. There was a scene where he genuinely was very concerned about what he was seeing. Like it was, they even said in the script that we need to sell this hard, that the prince is like distraught by what he has seen because it's news to him. Because according to the sheriff, America was doing excellent, so profitable, everything's great. But the reality really shook the prince in one of the earlier scripts.
So nothing too dramatic.
No, nothing really that, you know, was a game changer. Like I said, just little bits and pieces here and there. Most likely cut for time, I imagine.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and James Brown is acknowledged as the godfather of soul. Who's James Brown?
All right, so getting into our main discussion of Prince of Wales. This episode picks up where the last episode left off, and this doesn't work when you watch them out of order.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We pick up with the tidal wave coming at them and them having to survive it before activating the timer. This is probably the main point that made me want to watch this in the order it was filmed.
Right.
You know, I can't say I remembered it from like when it actually originally aired on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went back, I got the DVD box set and I watched it, is that you can see where this doesn't actually fit in when you take it out of order.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I think this is a great thing. And I don't think they're going to do this again. I think they learned their lesson.
Right.
About how Fox takes things out of order and they don't really carry over episodes moving forward.
I think when I first was watching this when it first aired, I didn't think much about it because I had not been that fanatical about any particular show, really. I mean, I was watching The X-Files, and that sort of had like a running order, but I know they probably mixed things up with that too. So I really, when they appeared at the top of the building trying to get away from the water, I don't think I even thought, like when I saw the other episode with the tidal wave, like that it was related at all. It just wasn't even in my mind at that point.
I guess at the same time, they are wearing very distinctive clothes mm-hmm. from the last world they were in, where it was the hippie movement. So they've all got these like 60s threads on.
Right.
So yeah. So when you even just look at what they're wearing, it becomes very obvious.
Right. And see, again, like before the TV show Lost, I just sort of like watched TV. You know, I was like, oh yeah, it's a good show, you know, nice and everything. I didn't analyze things until like when Lost came around. I started listening to the podcast and doing website research and looking at all these little, you know, tiny hidden things that people put in there. So if Sliders had come out today, I would definitely be paying attention, you know, to the clothing and what, you know, everything else that goes in from episode to episode a lot more than I did back then when I was, you know, 20 something in college.
So on this world, we have a British ruled America. Again, this is so playing on the themes that they've been going over in the last few episodes about how different countries could have ruled America. If, and this one really focuses in on American independence and the Declaration of Independence. So this being a British ruled America, they play on this Robin Hood parallel of robbing from the rich and giving to the poor.
I remember when Quinn starts giving his speech, I wasn't quite sure what he was going for. You know, like he just seemed to be shouting out like these cries that people have used throughout history to rally people together until he finally settled on that rob from the rich and give to the poor. That one's the one that really got the Oakland Raiders together, you know, and ready to yeah, let's stand up to the man. You know, I was like, he's just shouting out, you know, ask not what your country can do for you. You know, it's just like all these different, you know, famous sayings until that the last Robin Hood one came out. It was like, boom, there it is.
Yeah. And in a world that sort of, I guess, didn't have like a lot of revolutions, as we come to find out, It's almost as if he goes back over history.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Of all these revolutionary things until he gets like all the way back at the story of Robin Hood.
Yeah.
So, well, this is as good a place as any to start. So let's all rise up together.
Yeah, he even said, or I think he said, that the failure of the U.S.'s Revolutionary War caused other revolutions to fail around the world. So all like the Russian Revolution and Wade's favorite, the sexual revolution, of course, they all failed because, you know, the first one, the big U.S. Revolutionary War failed. So yeah, it affected everything.
Yeah, and of course, Arturo absolutely loves the idea that the British are in control. He even makes the point about how the Brits, they actually go out of their way to stay out of other people's business. So if we just stay low-key, we should be fine.
Oh, yeah.
We should be able to just hang back in this nice forest, which is, in our world, probably downtown Oakland, and we can just slide in, 6 days when the timer runs down.
Right. You know, Wade's comment about the sexual revolution combined with her quote from the pilot about how sliding was better than sex. I'm getting a whole different view of Wade here that I never had before. Just say it.
Can she be any more blatant?
I mean,
when Quinn's around.
Yeah. I liked her before. I'm a big Wade fan, but like I'm liking her more after rewatching these. Anyway, we move on in this episode. It's pretty clear that once again, we have a group of underground soldiers, rebellions, fighting against, you know, the power, the man, which happened in the pilot, of course. You know, it's something that comes back again and again, it seems like. And I've heard other people talk about how it's like, oh, it's so repetitive because they keep doing the same thing where someone's in power and the sliders hook up with an underground band of rebels, you know. But you know what? Like, I've been rewatching just recently. I started rewatching Star Trek Voyager, and I don't know why I picked that one to rewatch because it's not exactly my favorite one out of all of them, but I started watching it. And after the pilot, the first two episodes, they kind of played with time travel in those first two episodes or something related to time travel, you know, in the second episode and the third episode. And I was thinking, wow, that's similar to what they did on Sliders with, you know, visiting a theme that they just did. You know, I'm not sure why they choose to do that or not space them out more. Like this episode of Sliders here, this might not have been so noticeable if they had placed it maybe further down the line.
Yeah, and I guess, I think this one originally aired as maybe like episode 5 or 6.
Okay.
So you can see where Fox was, when they were shifting things around,
right,
why they would have placed it that many episodes down the line.
That makes sense now.
You know, our quartet of sliders go ahead and introduce democracy to this world. From the start of the episode where they were really struggling with what they should do when it comes to involvement in these worlds, particularly the difference in points of views between Wade and Arturo. They really get involved by the end here.
Oh, yeah.
And they even have the line, "We're the founding fathers now."
Right.
So they are totally involved and impressing Earth Prime's philosophies on life onto these other worlds.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I'm a fan of democracy, so why not?
Oh, yeah.
You know? No, I like the idea, you know? I like that they're the founding fathers. I like them trying to remember all the, you know, the parts of the Bill of Rights, because I couldn't remember all of the amendments at all.
And it does make for a funny moment at the end where Remy places that James Brown is the godfather of soul.
Right. Right.
And they say, well, who's James Brown? Well, no, of course, idea. That makes sense because this is a British America.
Exactly.
Quite possibly that kind of music never evolved.
Mm-hmm. It'd be neat, like, if they could have come back to see, like, what happens after they leave a world? Like this, after they make a change like that, what happens down the line? If they were able to control, you know, where they slid and they come back and see, well, what was the result of them introducing this to this world? You know, does it get better? You know, it'd be interesting to see if they could do something like that. It's like when you watch, you know, shows like Quantum Leap, you have the computer Ziggy telling you, well, if you do this, this is what happens down the road. You know, something like that would be neat to see on Sliders.
It's almost a shame that you can't actually get into that side of things because, you know, of course, our Sliders have to keep moving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, if you think about it, you know, could the world actually just separate itself from all these other monarchies around the world? Because it seems like Britain actually has quite a large coverage
right.
of the world.
Yeah.
Without having war.
You're right, yeah, you know? Because introducing that is one thing. Like, oh, well, that's pretty cool, but how are we going to enforce this when, you know, we're going to have a war, I guess, you know, we're going to have to win the war, you know, whereas before we lost the war. So, yeah.
Exactly. You know, Arturo goes through some of the history books and finds that George Washington was nothing more than just a footnote in history. They hanged him.
Mm-hmm.
And you could assume that was because he was attempting to introduce democracy.
Right, right.
And they kind of just squashed that
right
at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Did their actions send America into war?
Right. And so, yeah. So does, like, what they did, are they really making a change for the better, or are they just making these people's lives here for the present just a little bit worse?
But it's also, like you said, being a fan of democracy,
mm-hmm.
it could be worth it.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I would definitely push for that. It's like, but do they actually have the, you know, quote, firepower to enforce the democracy now that they have it? You know what I mean? Or now that they have been introduced to it. Can they keep it going? Can they win the war, basically, is what I'm asking.
And it seems that by the end, having the prince, who we know is going to be crowned king because his father is missing,
mm-hmm.
is probably a good step, because that would never happen under the reign of the sheriff. And,
right.
and we see that throughout the episode, because the sheriff has this talk show and it's all rigged to support his agenda.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I actually love that, you know, all the canned applause, mm-hmm. and, you know, somebody comes out and they want to try and say something maybe a bit negative towards the king and the monarchy, and they've got the booze queued up.
Right.
And he has a book called Everything I Say Is Right.
Exactly.
Which is ridiculous.
And even when, like, someone is saying something negative about the sheriff's policies, when he goes off camera and he talks to his, I guess, manager, you know, the manager says, no, we have to do this. We have to show this side of you as well. You know, it all plays into the image that we're trying to, you know, put forth. So everything that he does on that show is just, it's designed to make sure that what he wants, he gets.
And I guess lastly, I'd like to mention how they sort of further the connection between Quinn and Wade. Because here on this world, they each have their own little flings,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Yeah. But, you know, this revolutionary woman that Quinn sort of hooks up with has a boyfriend who's been imprisoned. Wade has her connection with the prince.
Right.
And that's just never going to work. And the prince even brings up the idea that Wade is in love with Quinn. It's almost like they telegraph it to everyone around them, but Quinn himself just cannot see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because his mind is, you know, like we said earlier, you know, going a million miles a minute trying to figure out things, you know? And so he just can't see like what is actually happening right in front of him with her. Yeah, the flings, I was like, well, all right, you know. It to me, they felt a little forced, you know, like she kisses him, you know, it's like, to me, it didn't look like a very passionate kiss. Just like, you know, it's like in the middle of war, just a big old, you know, lay a big one on me, you know? And I was just like, that was kind of it. And, you know, the whole Prince and Wade thing, I was like, oh, I wasn't feeling it. You know, it just didn't feel genuine to me. Like, I just didn't, I was like, nah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I realized they're trying to, you know, let the other person see that, oh, well, maybe I do have feelings for Wade, or maybe I do, you know, maybe my feelings for Quinn are stronger.
Yeah, but ultimately Quinn, I don't even think, sort of gets jealous about it
right. at all.
He sort of does his hand wave like, oh, Wade, you know, making a story for yourself, whatever.
Right, this is true.
Yep. But yeah, ultimately a good episode.
So we had a link sent to us from one of our followers on Twitter, Open Idri, a link to an old archive, I guess, of forums where people were commenting on Sliders back in the day. And we didn't have time to do it for this episode. I'm going to try to do it for the next episode. Look back and see what were people talking about back in 95 when Sliders was first airing. So it'll be an interesting look back in time to see what were the reactions back then. Because I wasn't, like, at that time, I wasn't on the internet. You know, I was in college, but, you know, they had the internet, but it was so basic and it was just kind of new. And I really didn't know much about it at all. I certainly wouldn't have known how to go, you know, to a site to find out people were talking about a show I was watching. So it'll be neat to look back and see these people who were watching it and commenting way back when.
Yeah, that should be really interesting. And if you'd like to send us your thoughts on the episodes that we're discussing each week, remember, we do have this Messages from Earth Prime segment where we want you, the listener, to send us your thoughts on each episode of Sliders. So we'll be giving it our contact information in a little bit, but it would be great to hear from you.
Yeah, definitely. Write to us. We're lonely here. We need some. we need you guys to make us feel good.
Absolutely. Okay. So next week, we will be discussing two more episodes of Sliders, keeping with our filmed order theme. We will be discussing Fever and then Last Days. So shall we give out our contact information?
Indeed. You can keep up with listener interaction by joining our Facebook group at facebook.com/rewatchpodcast and follow the show on Twitter at rewatchpod.
And remember, you can always send us an email or record a voice message and just send it on over to the rewatchpodcast@gmail.com. And also, if you've enjoyed our show, please consider giving us a rate and review on iTunes. Helps people find the show, builds that listener interaction, so that would be absolutely wonderful. All right, so that's it for this episode of the Rewatch Podcast and our Sliders Rewatch. So I'll just say, until next time, get out of my way, you silly little strumpet.
We gotta slide.
The Rewatch Podcast is not associated with NBC Universal, St. Clair Entertainment, Fox, or Sci-Fi Channel. The use of any and all copyrighted material is only for parody, news analysis, critique, or educational purposes, as provided in United States Code Title 17, aka Fair Use. Music provided by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Copyright 2015, The Rewatch Podcast.